Well, good afternoon, faithful listeners and fellow Average Saints. Welcome to a special youth edition of the Average Saint podcast. My name is Bruce Reed, currently working as an associate pastor with Fellowship Baptist Church here in West Central Edmonton. And I've been on this podcast before as a guest with our regular distinguished host, Jason Hagen. But today we are doing something different. I have the distinct privilege of welcoming and introducing two of our teenage Average Saints from Fellowship Baptist who will be taking some time to talk with myself, who was one of their youth leaders this past year, about something near and dear to the hearts of many of us, and that is Summer Bible Camp Ministry. Now I'll let my guests introduce themselves. What do people call you, both at camp and away from it, if there's a difference? And how many years have you been involved with camp ministry so far?
I'm Micah, and that's how I usually go outside of camp. And then at the camp where I work at, I'm always Michelangelo. Distinguish me from another Micah. Nice. And I've been working for 1.5, really, years.
Cool. Any time as a camper?
Once at their homeschool camp, and then once at a different camp at Sunnybury.
Cool.
And I'm Gwen. I get called Gwendolyn at camp when I'm in trouble. And I've been working at camp for 3 years, and I was a camper for 2 years.
So, cool. Yeah. As for myself, my actual name, as I said, is Bruce Reed, but I have been called many things at camp over the years. My personal favorites have been Batman and Pamplemousse. Don't ask me how I got that last one. You get some pretty bizarre interactions with kids over the course of 8 summers as staff. I've also been a camper at summer camp for at least 5 years, too. All right, so with that, first question for you guys. What is one of your personal favorite Bible camp memories as a staff or as a camper?
So as a staff member, I think my personal favorite one was when I witnessed my first camper make a profession of faith. And it was like, I remember like it was yesterday. We finished supper and we were sitting down at the table and I was doing a one-on-one with her. And she looked at me and she was like, my parents are going to heaven and you're going to heaven. Right now, I know I'm not. And she was like, I want to go to heaven. So we prayed, and like that was my favorite.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Gwen was a counselor, and so she sees a lot of things that I don't because I worked more than I was a counselor. But seeing kids as they interact at the very first day and then seeing how many people change most of the time at the end, it's just pretty great.
Yeah, a week of camp, like, kids' behaviors change from the Sunday to the Friday. And it's not just because we're, I don't want to say disciplining them, but like just because we're telling them what they can and can't do, but because the Spirit of the Lord is working in them.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I've seen that as well. It's pretty cool. For myself, when I was thinking about a specific memory, I thought of an epic senior boys camping trip that I went on as a leader. We did some crazy hiking across some mountain ranges and read through most of the book of 1 Peter altogether. So it was a lot of going through scripture, a lot of hiking. So it was pretty intense. And then definitely some of the campers especially were challenged. But I thought it was awesome just to see people faced with challenges. Like, I remember one guy was super afraid of heights. But he powered through, even though at one particular part where it was kind of like a little goat path down the mountainside, he was like almost crying. He was holding it together and we were supporting him. And just seeing people face those challenges and then especially seeing guys start to get more serious about God's word was a real highlight for me. All right, so those are some memories. What kinds of positive effects have you seen either in your life or in the lives of others from camp ministry? So what kind of things do you see? We talked a little bit about this, but let's maybe just elaborate some more.
Yeah, I think working at camp at Ross Haven, you get introduced into like a whole new group of friends because you guys are supporting either throughout the whole summer. And so exiting the summer, you gain like a new friendship. And so then we do things like Bible studies and staff parties, and we use those to encourage each other. And so I think that has like a positive effect, especially right now after COVID and canceled camp. We've been using Bible studies and get-togethers to encourage each other up and give each other something to look forward to.
Okay. So that's with people who are on as staff?
Yeah.
Just reading the Bible
together? So even though we were staff members, we still support each other through the entire year.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
I see this when I was the camper more than the staff.
Mm-hmm.
But at Sunny Bray, usually, not most of the time, when people don't understand or don't like or are just bored, they act weird. But when, like at Sunny Bray, there was all the lights and everything, and I thought this was over excessive. But seeing pretty much every, I think it was just me that who wasn't, but every single person was crowding around the stage because music is powerful.
It was like a concert.
Yeah, everybody was like jumping opposed to Rosalind, yeah. But whatever. And then, yeah, it was pretty great.
You could see the Spirit of the Lord was present there.
Mm-hmm.
You could feel
just
it.
How everybody was reacting.
Mm-hmm. Especially interesting when you see kids that you would definitely not peg them as being interested in various more spiritual aspects of camp.
Like even
at the beginning.
Yeah, like some of the kids from our youth even were in front in the stage jumping up and down with each other.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. For me, I think a great story is another hiking trip. We did a lot of hiking at my camp. Nice. So where I led this particular one as well and ended up accidentally very much overestimating the capabilities and the hiking ability of the kids that I had in my group. And so essentially we ended up having to like stop, people ran out of water. Then we had to like change our plans for where we were actually going and then camp somewhere else. And it was like, in my mind, it was super lame, just underneath like a power line. We're not even up in the mountains. We're just kind of close to them. It's like, okay, we just have to stay here. Maybe we'll do a little day hike. And I felt like everything was terrible and had a terrible attitude. But then the next day, it was just interesting seeing how the kids reacted. And actually, we had more time just to like bond as a group. And kids were doing different things, inventing new games to play with each other. There's a couple of Bible studies that happened over the course of it. And even the limited amount of being outside, like for them, some of them still thought it was really cool. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I thought it was lame. But,
yeah.
But they're actually appreciating it. To me, that was a great example of, for myself, of an opportunity where I got to see that, you know, at the end of the day, it isn't really about my abilities, but it's about what God's doing.
Yeah.
And just being a part of it. And then the other part was just seeing how kids getting the opportunity to be challenged, but also getting the opportunity to just come together to be a part of a Christian community, to see them being encouraged to grow, to know God for themselves, just in a setting where they feel valued, they feel that they can explore and ask questions. And so I think that's a microcosm of just one of the awesome things that I see about Bible camps in general. And that leads pretty well to the next question I have for you guys. And that is, what specific things about camp ministry do you think make it effective, at least in your experience?
Specifically for Rosshaven Bible Camp, we do one-on-ones. And so we see hundreds of campers this summer between kids camp, student camp, score camp, and the outbounds. They're not just any kids. Like, God loves all these kids, and he knows every single one of them. So we take the time to talk to them one-on-one multiple times throughout the week and see how they are and how they're feeling and what God's teaching them and what they're learning and where their walk is with the Lord. And so I think we get a better understanding of the kids, and we have a better chance to explain the gospel to them and help them understand what it's about. So I think that's what makes the spiritual growth at camp more effective.
Mm-hmm. So one-on-one relationships?
One-on-one, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to add on to that, it's also, in my experience, kids, most of the time, even with their friends, are largely, they're just part of the group, but they're not valued. They are valued just for being there. When you go to camp, yes, the counselors are trying to show you the way, of course, but they're also investing in you, and then that makes them feel special.
Yeah.
It's also not like a Bible study. That's really bad. But you're doing stuff, not just sitting around a table and talking.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing stuff that are, most of the time at camp, it's fun. But if you just sit around a table, things can happen. But when you're doing things with the person that you're now respecting, mm-hmm. because they respected you, you get to interact.
Yeah, and you get to hopefully, at least ideally, you see the counselor or other staff living out, you know, the characteristics of Jesus in life, in the games, in as they're eating and everything.
It's so funny pulling campers aside for one-on-ones because they always think they're in trouble. So you'd be like, can we talk after supper? And then they spend all supper like trying to figure out what they did wrong. It's so funny. We don't do it on purpose, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think another thing that I've... about camp is that just seeing kids outside of like a normal like school or home environment, I think that can be really freeing for some kids if they either they're used to a particular role within like a school environment, either as a, you know, in some kind of a, more of a clique, or maybe they're more unpopular or something, or in a family it's like you sometimes have very kids have these very rigid ideas of okay, this is what happens when we're at home. Yeah, but then at camp, it's like, okay, there's freedom to be a different person.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Yeah.
To be interested in different things than normal. To learn. I think that helps a lot.
Yeah.
Mostly with teen camp. I know this is true for lots of teens. Is they lead two different lives.
Mm.
Sometimes three. So they'll go to camp, and then they'll be the super spiritual one. Then they'll go to home, and then they'll be the whatever, and then they'll go to school, and then there's somebody else.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The thing about teen camp at Ross Haven, though, is we actually know a lot of the teens that come, and so we end up interacting with them in an outside of camp environment, too. So we get a better chance of...
That's good. It highlights kind of two sides there, where you're talking about, Micah, with a little bit of a danger that... Over the years of camp, some kids can develop, like, this is how I behave at camp, and has no connection to other places. But at the same time, if you form relationships with different staff or people who know you or talk to you or whatever, Facebook message you outside of camp, that can be really helpful too. I know for in my camp, but even in my experience, because I kind of was a camper at the same place and then went through staff training program one summer and then came back as staff for many summers after that. You do get the chance for people to really grow a lot as they come back even to volunteer and to spend time. And a lot of time, kids that aren't Christians yet, they might be interested in coming as a counselor in training program or something. And that's an opportunity where you can be way more directly challengeable. Like, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
What does Jesus actually mean to you? And there's more and more opportunities to disciple them, I guess, in a more intense or more direct way. What do you guys think?
You can do a lot of that. If they want to get into staff, it's a good thing, I think, in my opinion, because you now, instead of being kind of like the guy in the background, in my case, just the guy who cooks or just the guy who does maintenance, or both person, they see that and they think, oh, this is kind of cool. And you go in and then you get to directly interact and see how this person lives in real time.
Yeah.
And they see all, because like maintenance is nitty and gritty lots of times.
Yeah.
And so when they see how you respond to the problem, how your attitude is all the time, they're bound to reflect it.
Mm-hmm.
The application process to become a staff member has a lot of those questions about how you view certain stuff and what Jesus is to you and what he's teaching you right now. But we still have staff members that aren't Christians. And so typically they happen to be support staff. But the support staff last year did a Bible study. And so every night after their work, they would go and sit down and they would read through a book and talk about it and stuff. And it was super encouraging to see, because then these staff members that aren't Christians really see how the Spirit works through everybody. And so it was super encouraging.
Oh, that's cool. Well, that reminds me of the last thing I wanted to mention in terms of what makes camp ministry effective, and just the having the Word of God, the Bible, in Bible camp, right, to be actually central. And I think that, like, there's so many times that I've heard of kids who they didn't necessarily have a big impact on them right away through time at camp, but then later on, they remembered Bible verses, they remembered certain things, and they started to more seriously question, and they had somewhere to look for answers.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge.
There's a speech by this guy, Admiral McRaven. He did a big speech. All what he said, and himself, he wasn't a Christian, but had Christian values. And one that always stuck out was the very first one, which is started the day with a task completed. So if you take that into context with this, if you do something that is encouraging for you and for somebody else, you'll feel great and you want to do it again. And if you're a non-Christian, those feelings might be new to you. And even they might even see in somebody else and they want it. Through interactions like that, then they start searching much harder, coming back to camp more.
Yeah, there's just so many different layers of different things that you pick up or might pick up, and different people that you might talk to. I think there's maybe another podcast topic would be learning things from camp ministry into how we live as Christians outside of that too, but
yeah,
that's a bigger discussion. Last question for you guys here. You guys have mentioned it, Rosshaven Bible Camp. Tell us a little bit about that camp. How has COVID affected it this particular summer? And
so we explored options. I say we, the camp director, explored options on what to do this summer. They were going to see if we could have camp, and then they did the calculations, and then we didn't have enough room for it. And so we were going to do camp in a box, which was put camp activities and stuff in a box and then deliver them. And then they calculated that, and then it was too expensive. And so we ended up just doing, I don't know if it was an international or just like an Alberta thing, just online camp for July. And so you sign up and then you go to a chapel time. And then after the chapel, you like discuss with your cabin mates online. And so that was all we could do. I think we're going to try to do Bible studies again, invite campers, which is what we were supposed to be doing in the first place. And then that way we can still kind of interact with campers this summer, hopefully.
Just a lot more low key.
Yeah.
Gwen covered it.
Yeah, pretty much. I was more of the keep the camp running kind of guy. So yeah. I wasn't involved in the higher ups.
Yeah, I think this summer we're just going to, some things are like falling apart right now. So I think we're just going to take the summer to fix it and make it better for next year.
Yeah.
So I think it was good. I think we kind of needed that.
Yeah. But I did hear in one of the many news reports a few months ago that they're listing like people, different groups that had donated stuff. At Rosshaven Bible Camp donated some sanitizer masks.
It was super awesome to hear.
The medical system. So I was like, hey, basically secular government recognizing Bible Camp doing something good.
Yeah, and then a week later he was like, you can't run camp.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, there's some other things.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, I went to Crow's Nest Lake Bible Camp. That's where I had the majority of my, especially staff experience. And I've been following it off and on. I was just looking at their website earlier. They've been, every week of camp, they basically take kids on a hiking trip. Smaller, a shorter trip for younger kids, obviously, and longer for teens. So basically now they're having to do, they're doing like a little bit of like family stuff. So the families can book a time and come and do like archery or something like that. But other than that, it's basically just a couple of basically camping trips that you can sign up for.
Yeah.
It has to be less than 6 people, and everyone has to have their own tent unless they're related and all this different stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just,
I think we were
certainly not the same.
Yeah, I think we were going to try to do like smaller rental stuff, but then we're not being supported financially right now because we didn't do any fundraisers this year, so we can't. You can't do it, but
yeah,
it would have been nice.
There's some hard logistics too for camps that run so much on donations
and
volunteers and people, or even if people do get paid, it's usually not tons of money.
Yeah.
There was camps in the States. They realized that they have to keep everybody apart and everything. And so I don't know what it was, but there was some camps that were, they did the 6 feet apart thing, but they were teaching the people how to do like lean-tos, how to start fires and whatever. And so they would literally find the clearing or something, use their survival training, and then just yell each other across the thing and talk.
There you go. Yeah. At least be a little bit fun. All right. Well, there you have it. Hopefully next summer there'll be more opportunities for camp ministry to go forward all across the world, ministering to kids and teens, showing and teaching the goodness of God and His Word. To our listeners out there, now you know of two different pretty awesome camps where the gospel is preached and kids grow every year, Ross Haven and Crowsnest Lake. If you have kids that are at camp age, or even if you don't, but want to sign up to work for a summer, or at least a few weeks in a summer, yeah, these are some places that you can check out. All right, that's pretty much it from us today. Thank you, Gwen and Micah, for coming out for this. And finally, a big thanks to our listeners. Hope you've enjoyed episode 17 of the Average Saint podcast. This is Bruce Reed signing out.